Episode 211, Simon Pegg joins Monty Python, and other news.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono, and we are back.
And today we're joined by...
I'm Doug Payton, otherwise known as Doug in Atlanta.
Yeah, Doug in Atlanta, not in Atlanta.
No, here in Minneapolis.
My brain doesn't know how to handle it.
Oh, my body doesn't know how to handle the cold, for crying out loud.
Yeah, what was it today, Ben?
Well, it was 20 today, but...
This was balmy.
Yeah. That's nice.
It was minus... Let's see, when I drove to Eden Prairie yesterday, which means nothing to people who aren't from Minnesota and don't know the geography, but I drove yesterday morning at like 8:30, and it was minus 11, I think.
I think the high on Tuesday was zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to get colder, so be happy that you're from Atlanta.
Yes, well, I had my blood thickened up as a kid living in Cleveland and Pittsburgh and Syracuse, and I learned how to drive in the snow, so I can at least get around here. I had to relearn some of the lessons about, no, don't, you know, gun the engine.
Yeah.
The rental car I have has like a hair trigger on the accelerator, so it was a little tough to not spin it, but
so,
otherwise.
So you're in town for business. You've been here since Monday. How is Minnesota treating you?
The little I have seen, it's been great. I'm loving the gas prices.
Oh, is it way lower here?
Oh, yeah. In Atlanta, it's about $3.20. Right now, here, it's about $2.80.
This morning, yeah. This morning, I paid $2.80, I think.
Yeah.
$2.80, $2.90, something.
So that's nice.
Have you done any of the sightseeing?
No, I just don't want to get out of the car.
There's what sights?
Yeah, there's not... I was just going to say, there's not a lot of sight. Like, we have good nature-y things.
Yeah, like 6 hours north of here.
No, I mean, there's some nice things around the cities.
Like what? Not this time of year.
No, not this time of year.
It's all dead.
It was the Mall of America.
People, that's not sightseeing.
People, it's a tourist attraction.
It is, yeah. But I just haven't. I have gone from the airport to the client site there in Plymouth.
Yeah.
And between the client and the hotel they have me at is about a quarter to a half a mile. So I cross one of the interstates. There I'm at the at their place. I cross the interstate again, and I'm back at my hotel. So I really, the most I have done is driving around trying to find a place to eat, because Plymouth doesn't have a whole lot of concentration of restaurants right there.
Okay,
you got to go up to Highway 55. Yeah. And head west a bit.
All right, let's stop telling directions in Minnesota.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you'd like to know about how to get over?
Episode 211, travelogue of Minnesota. Yeah.
I got to say, though, you know, we're glad you're here, but it's tough for me to have somebody from Atlanta here because I am still bitter and hurt.
From 1998?
From 1998, the NFC Championship game.
Do you know about this? Do you remember this even?
Are you a football fan?
I don't follow it too much. Not really, no.
And so the 15-1 Vikings... You know,
which is unheard of now.
Yeah, they were the best team in the NFL. Our kicker had not missed a field goal all season. And then the Atlanta Falcons come to town. Gary Anderson, our kicker, misses his first field goal of the season at the end of regulation. It goes to overtime, and you guys beat us, and I am still angry.
I 100% agree. That is one of the moments in my sports history that is just horrible. I was watching the game. I was actually on a family-type vacation. I say family-type because it wasn't my family. It was Ryan Strelo's family, and he got to bring me along. And we're in this cabin watching on this big TV. It was so exciting, and then we lost, and we could have been in the Super Bowl.
I vaguely remember a little bit of that, like after the fact, because I don't know if I watched. I probably didn't watch it. So I remember, you know, kind of the big news on the local TV channels and stuff like that, but I don't remember specifically, so you can't hold me accountable.
Well, we can, we do, but we're glad you're here anyway.
All right, so here's what we're going to do today. At the beginning of the show here, we're going to talk a little bit about the end of the year highlight show, then we're going to do news, and then later in the next episode, Doug, tell us what we're going to be talking about on the main topic episode.
We're going to talk about family-friendly sci-fi, or family-friendly fare in general. How is it good? How is it bad? What are the pitfalls? What are the things that Hollywood could do better?
All right, but that's next episode. This episode is the news. But before we do that, Ben.
Yes, sir.
Earlier today, you helped me and you posted our final polls.
Yeah.
These are the nominees have been selected, Doug. And so I know that you're prepared. I warned you ahead of time. I'm going to...
I'm prepared being that you warned me about 10 minutes ago, and I just kind of glanced at the list.
All right, so there are 15 categories.
But we should probably go backwards. Because I think we need to save episode of the year for last.
And okay, so right now on this episode, right here, we're going to announce all of the nominees. And I need you, listeners, to go right now to thescificristian.com. Go find this post so that you can comment and leave your picks. It won't take long. Just run through it real quick. And because I had somebody like 15. Well, actually, it was when we had 18. We lowered them a little bit because some of the...
Well, there is still 16th category, but we already have the winner for that.
Oh, yeah. It was let's not talk about it yet. Yeah, so there's one that was too definitive to even post again. But anyway, so we're down to 15, but don't feel like it's going to take you a long time. Basically, you look at the list, pick your winners, you'll be good to go. We need these done right now.
Yeah, I voted earlier today. Yeah, it took me 3 minutes.
We're going to only have the polls open for 1 week. So if you're listening to this anytime between now and December 18th, 2013, go and do this. So, Doug.
If you're as far behind on your podcast listening as I am, it's too late.
Yeah,
there is that.
Doug, you may have not seen some of these things or heard of these episodes. I just want you to either say go with your first instinct or pass. So
I will try to go with my first instinct.
But this is also,
I don't think he can pass. If so you're we're voting make on vote. The air.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're making you vote, even if you've never watched these. So in category 15, in the running for video of the year this year is the Dark Knight Returns video. This is a review that we did that I actually wouldn't let Ben post because he got a little bit inappropriate, but for some reason
it wasn't inappropriate. I censored it,
but for some reason we got some votes on it. So that one's in the running. We've got a Game of Thrones beer review that
take the Black Stout,
Man of Steel movie review.
Yep.
Star Trek Into Darkness review, a movie review again. And this is a trivia challenge. The winner had made you watch a bunch of... This is Robin from the UK. He made you watch a bunch of Deep Space Nine episodes.
Yeah.
So that one also got a vote. So, Doug, which of those...
A bunch of Deep Space Nine episodes? I feel sorry for you.
Yeah, they weren't that great.
I watched it for a little while, and then I was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So, Doug, what's your vote for that category?
I'm gonna have to say Into Darkness, only because that's probably the only movie I've watched of that list. And
And you may have watched our video, possibly. Is that possible?
The silence says it all.
I plead the fifth. I refuse to answer on the grounds and may tend to incriminate me.
Nah, category 14, the topic.
Do you want me to read these? Yeah, or is this going to be a typical news episode where I just sit in the background the whole time?
Why don't you take all the evens and I'll take all the odds? Take it away.
The topic that the Sci-Fi Christian should have covered in 2013 but did not. The nominees are Babylon 5. Buffy the Vampire Slayer / Angel, Gravity Movie Review, Top 5 Non-Stereotypical Female Sci-Fi Characters or Video Games. That's very broad. Mm-hmm. Like just video, people want us to do just video games in general?
Yeah, we don't do it enough, I guess.
Okay.
I picked Babylon 5.
How did I know that was going to be your
guess?
Yes,
indeed. Well, I've kept in touch with you.
Which I'm about 2/3 of the way through season 3 now.
Yes.
When are you going to loan me your DVDs?
Well, when you give me back my Buffy and Angel ones.
Okay, still watching Angel.
Great, great season.
That the when this was on originally, I don't know if you've heard of Usenet.
You sent me the link, I think.
It was kind of like news groups, but it was a whole different, you know, you could either run a web browser and look web pages or Usenet and all these discussion groups. And J. Michael Straczynski, the creator, would often post in there. And that was kind of his description. The first, he described each of the seasons as, you know, what's the tone, what's the feel for it. The first is kind of up and laying the foundation. When you get to 3, yes, we're hitting the climax here.
Right.
Like you map out if you were to map out a book or something like that, mm-hmm. that was kind of the big deal. And then like season 5 will kind of be the aftermath of whatever happens in season 3.
Sure.
Wow.
Though I do have to say that King Arthur episode was horrible.
Oh, well, the King Arthur allusions, what he was going after, he was actually going after fans who were saying, oh, no, what he's doing is it's kind of the Arthurian legend. Oh, no, this is kind of the hero's quest guide. Oh, no, what he's really doing. And he was saying, look, these are all stories that have archetypes.
Right.
And the Arthur legend does, and Star Wars does, and all these kinds of things. And so... you can overlay onto my story, because I'm using the same archetypes, all of these other things. So, you know, that's really what he was trying to do, is say, sure. Look, guys, just calm down. It's all good.
Yeah.
All right. And in category 13, we have Sci-Fi Video Game of the Year.
Do you play video games, Doug?
I do.
Okay.
Right.
I was not expected. Watch games.
Let me say this. I haven't bought too many games. What I have played, usually I go with the... the MMOs that are free, you know, mm-hmm, free to play. And I have been playing Star Trek Online for a while. I played The Lord of the Rings Online for a while. You get to a point where you have to pay to move on, and I just got kind of tired of that.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek Online, you can really go quite far without having to pay anything. And so I've played that a bit. Now, I haven't played it consistently in quite some time, but there was like a couple, 3 or 4 months that I was really kind of heavily into it, and I leveled up to the top, you know, to their cap in about, you know, like 2-3 months. And so there's a lot to do. They've got a lot of content in that.
I just realized, but don't let me forget, after we do these nominees, let's let Doug introduce himself more and plug his show as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we got to do that.
Yeah, so we'll do that right before the news.
Okay.
Category
in 40 minutes.
Teen sci-fi video game of the year, Batman, Arkham Origins, BioShock Infinite, Disney Infinite, Injustice.
No, Disney Infinity.
Yep, you're right. Disney Infinity, Injustice, Gods Among Us, and The Last of Us. Have you heard of any of those?
I have... I think I've heard of the Batman one. I got a really... It's interesting. Just today, you know, I'm training some people here in Wilmington on our product. And the one guy was talking about BioShock Infinite.
Okay, so that's...
So I'm going to vote for that just because that's the only one I really...
It's a great game.
All right, perfect.
Ben. He had lots of good to say about it as far as the plot and the graphics and all that.
Category 12, Sci-Fi Book of the Year, The Abominable, Abominable?
The Abominable?
Abominable by Dan Simmons.
I've been practicing that word.
Yeah.
Dr. Sleep by Stephen King. The Ocean at the End of the Lane by Neil Gaiman. Oz Reimagined by John Joseph Adams. And Unsold by Neil Schusterman. Or Schusterman.
All right.
I'll vote for the Neil Gaiman one only because that's the only author name I know, and I know he's pretty good.
He is great.
Yeah, this is one that I'm actually going to read. You said it's short. I can handle that.
I gave you the audiobook.
The audiobook, yeah.
Yeah, it's 5 hours.
So speaking of book reading, I forgot my... I'll have to go back and maybe look up where my Angels...
Are you reading Flight of the Angels? Or no, you guessed on
I guessed
mine.
On your reading of Flight of the Angels.
Do you know, have we passed it yet?
No, we do have the first death, though, later today during listener feedback.
Just so you know, and we're going to talk about this in a minute. Well, I'll hold off. Okay, go ahead. I'll take it. Category 11, Sci-Fi TV Show of the Year. The nominees are Arrow, Breaking Bad, Doctor Who, Sleepy Hollow, or Warehouse 13. Doug, what's your answer?
Do we have any predictions of what my answer is going to be?
It's going to be Doctor Who.
It's going to be Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. Great. And listener feedback today, we have some people that took some issue with some things we said, and Doug's here to help us clear up any questions that they have. So be ready for Doctor Who talk at the end.
I was listening to the Doctor Who episode on the flight here, so
okay.
I was
right,
trying to catch up
right.
as much as I could.
Okay. Ben.
Sci-fi movie of the year, category 10, Gravity, Man of Steel, Monsters University, Star Trek Into Darkness, or Thor, The Dark World.
This is tough. This is tough.
What's it between? What are you thinking through here?
That list again. The, where are we? Okay, Gravity Man. Between, I would say it's going to be between Man of Steel and Into Darkness. I haven't seen Thor yet. I've seen Monsters University. I've seen the ads for Gravity. I would say because I've seen it, Star Trek Into Darkness. I like it a little better because than I know some folks do. Mm-hmm. Because even though it did kind of borrow from the second movie of the original series, I think that's kind of it was the intent there was to show that yes, we're going off on a tangent. We're still part of the same universe. There are still things that are going to happen in this universe that did in the original timeline. But they are going to have a twist. And then I think, yeah, the whole, the Spock going, Kron! Was a little cheesy, but yeah. At the same time, it shows there is still that connection. And as we go farther on, the connections are going to diverge.
I saw that movie 3 times, twice in the theater and once just a couple weeks ago with some friends. And that specific scene, I was waiting to get there because every time in the theater, it felt weird and awkward. And the second showing that I saw it at, people actually laughed out loud at it. But with this small group watching it at home, it didn't ring as awkward. It like people just kind of no one reacted to it as I was kind of waiting for them to laugh at it. No one said anything. They just watched it straight through. So yeah, maybe people that aren't big Star Trek fans will just kind of roll right past that.
I'll take your word for it because I won't be watching it again.
All right. Category 9, biggest sci-fi disappointment of 2013. Here we go. The nominees are the film Iron Man 3. the film Star Trek Into Darkness.
Probably not going to vote for that one.
LucasArts shutting down, the video game company that put together the Star Wars games before. Okay, here we go. The next nominee, the second half of the film Man of Steel. So they liked the first half, but not so much the second part. And the TV show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I've been trying to get into Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and this is one of these things that we're going to talk about in the family-friendly episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's been, for me, the biggest disappointment. I still think it's still got potential, but I got some issues with it, and it's just not as big as I thought it would be.
Yeah, I think that show's been a disaster.
All right.
And I am no longer sticking with it. All right, category 8. The most shocking sci-fi news of 2013, Ben Affleck will be Batman. Announcement that the Man of Steel sequel will be a Batman versus Superman film. Announcement that Disney is planning to release a new Star Wars movie every single year. Marvel's upcoming TV shows on Netflix. Or The Silver Chair as the next Narnia movie. That some of those are more shocking than others. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, you don't feel like Silver Chair is that shocking?
I feel unshocked by the fact that the next book in the series will be the next movie made.
That's not true. Because
it is true.
No, because they had originally announced it was going to be Magician's Nephew.
Yeah, and then that fell through.
Okay, I'm just saying that it could be surprising.
I wasn't shocked.
All right, Doug, don't listen to Ben.
Ben is wrong.
What?
No.
We'll see. We'll see what he votes for.
I'm voting for Ben Affleck as Batman.
Yeah.
All right.
Ben is right. That was my vote.
Ben Affleck is right.
Okay.
We'll see.
Well, yeah. That's to be yet to be determined.
Now, when it comes to the lack of follow through award, we do this every year. This year, we actually had less nominees, only two. And I Facebooked Ben earlier today, and
we had a lack of follow through. Coming up for nominees for the lack of
follow through.
So
I said that should have been a nominee and you didn't listen to me.
Every category has five potentials. I took the top five of everybody. This one, there's only two. And so let's read them out here. Me finishing the book Flight of the Angels. And the second nominee is our promised Alan Moore episode, which is nominated for the third year in a row, everybody.
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry, you promised. Yes, Alan Moore.
Alan Moore.
I have no idea who Alan Moore is.
Yeah, we've been talking about in our episode. In fact,
when you do it.
Well, we're doing it next week. Next week.
Wait. No, we're not doing it next week.
Well, we'll see. Maybe we'll get to it next week. Maybe.
No. It's the end of the year Jubilee appreciation.
We'll see.
There's not a chance we're going to do it.
I just
want to
promise that we're going to be doing Alan Moore.
Okay, yeah, I'm promising.
You got to have something to not follow through on.
Exactly. There's a really good chance that Alan Moore will be done in the next week. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, really good chance.
Okay. Go ahead,
Doug. Even a better chance that you will finish, of that happening, than you finishing Flight of the Angels in the next week.
Yeah, I won't finish that in the next week.
Exactly.
I'm going to go with Flight of the Angels. Okay. Absolutely.
That's going to be the runaway winner, I think.
Okay. Now, did you... you don't have to tell me when your date is, but is it soon or is it a ways out?
I don't remember.
Do you know?
I think it's like the first quarter of next year sometime.
That's a good guess. That's what I'm shooting for. Yeah. I'm shooting for February or March.
I think that James is going to win. He guessed never.
Okay, whatever. All right. We're kind of getting into the now where you have to pick an episode. So yes. Some of our favorite episodes. Go ahead, Ben.
So time loop episode of the year.
Okay, so these are ones you've probably heard because they're from first season.
Yes, they're from first season. I usually don't listen to them when they time loop because I've got other podcasts I listen to.
What? Over.
That's
what?
Totally fine.
What?
That's totally, totally fine.
We're not okay with that, Doug. Is the existence of aliens compatible with a biblical worldview? Our first episode, which I believe was not the first one. That means the first one we ever recorded, right?
The first one this is our first episode.
The pilot episode.
The pilot. Yep.
Okay. A Bigfoot, Dinos, and Dragons.
Kobe's first appearance.
Featuring Cubby Radcliffe. It's the end of the world as we know it. I don't know what that was about.
It's about end times.
Okay. Is that the one where we just made fun of Left Behind the entire?
Yes, correct.
Hauntings and Holiness.
I'm going with the aliens and the how does aliens handle that one there.
Compatibility with the Bible, correct.
125.
Right. That's a good one. All right, number five, category five, guest of the year. We've got Michael D. Sellers, author of John Carter and the Gods of Hollywood. We've got Brad Jordy and Eric Klein, who appeared in the episodes about Revolution and our recent manliness episode.
Yeah, the manisode.
That was a top five, but it wasn't called top five, so that's interesting.
That's true.
We've got Rick Lee James, who appeared both when he introduced himself as sort of a sci-fi worship leader, but then also on the Superman movie review. Desiree Anderson, who is my wife.
That's not fair that she's on the list.
Why?
That's totally not fair. Plus, I know for a fact that you told somebody that you were going to vote for them, and it was not her.
Okay, I'll tell you the truth. I was going to vote for... Okay, well, you know Wayne Henderson, of course.
Yes, absolutely.
He's our next nominee, Wayne Henderson from The Lost Off. Now, I'm just going to set the record straight. Originally, I told Wayne, I'm voting for you.
Yeah.
Okay. But then somebody else voted for Des, and I was like, wait, I can't not vote for my wife. So, Wayne...
Exactly. That's why it's not fair for her to be on here.
Well,
Family members shouldn't be included.
But just listen, both of these were voted on individually. Both Wayne and Desiree were voted on by other people besides myself. I can cast my vote in a favor, of course. So, Wayne, I think you'll understand if I vote for my wife. But I'm still also rooting for The Lost Off, which was a great episode.
Family members cannot win any of the prizes.
So,
yeah, exactly. All of our prizes.
So, Doug, go ahead.
Definitely Wayne Henderson. I really enjoyed The Lost Off.
And you and Wayne are friends also, right?
Yes.
We all kind of know each other from GSPN. Didn't you used to listen to GSPN?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I also used to listen to his Fringe podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And now we are both... I'm trying to think if... I'm part of a TV Talk Network. I'm trying to remember if Wayne is on that.
Yeah, he is.
Yes, he is. That's right. That's correct.
He does Revenge?
That's right. That's right. He and Troy Heinrichs do Revenge. That's right.
And they also have Under the Dome. But is that part of TV Talk, or that's their own? That's their own entity.
Under the Dome Radio. They had their own podcast. I was one of the co-hosts of the Under the Dome TV Talk.
Show. You're a competitor to our friend Wayne.
Well, friendly.
You're going to have to. Leave.
And in fact, Under the Dome, they did a little end of the year, end of the season kind of wrap up, and they had the both of us, the both of them, and another fellow who does a.
That's
fun.
So
it was great.
Tell me about this TV Talk Network. Ben and I want to be on there. Can you put in a good word for us?
Well, we have all the people. If you go to the TV Talk website,
yeah. You said that last week.
Did I?
Yeah, because they get paid.
Oh, yeah, we want to be on it.
Yeah. if you go to the website and you, there's a, you know, tvtalk.com/host, it's going to say, we don't have any room anymore. That used to be the page where you could sign up. But we got like 70 people doing 50 shows. So we're pretty taken care of. What they do is the hosts watch the show live right after the show is over, then taking notes during the show. Right after that, they do a little 20-minute podcast about it. We upload the raw audio to the TV Talk website, and we have some magicians in the background doing hacking and slashing and making it sound
that
really
great.
That
sounds great.
So the next morning, it's ready, and so there's a TV Talk app that it'll just pop up in, and so you can listen to it there and then use the app to leave your feedback.
Doug, can't you put in a good word for Ben and I?
I can. whether it carries any weight is anybody's
No
guess.
Pressure, but I'm...
We could just upload our Game of Thrones reviews.
No. That is not happening.
If we could get paid for those are amazing.
No,
they get so many views.
TV Talk is a nice family friendly network. Oh. What you do is not family friendly.
We'll get there the next episode. Yeah.
So, anyways, back to the categories.
Yeah, he voted for Wayne.
Yeah. So
okay. So yeah,
you take number four.
Funniest episode of the year. What if Tolkien and Lewis wrote together? What's in the Batcave? 2001: A Space Odyssey review. I don't remember that being particularly funny. Hero season one rant. Or The Lost Off?
I'm going to have to go with The Lost Off again. There are some other... I would say the runner-up would be What's in the Batcave, but I'm going to have to go with The Lost Off.
All right.
Especially the funniest parts were the incredulity with which Ben was like, you know this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a disturb... I don't think that was funny.
I was laughing out loud. I was laughing out loud in the car on the way to work. It was great.
Doug, you watched Lost, right?
I did, yes.
Okay, so... did you hang in there with us during The Lost Off, or did you know a
yes.
lot of the answers?
Yeah. I was trying to see if I knew them all as well. You guys really had me put to shame.
Okay, that's good. I feel good about that. I want to be the best. All right, category three, movie review episode of the year. So this is not movie of the year. It's our episode of the year that talked about movies. Here we go. G.I. Joe Retaliation movie review. Iron Man 3 movie review. Star Trek Roundtable discussion. The Superman Symposium, and Revisiting the Rocketeer.
I'm going to have to say the Star Trek Roundtable, because three of those I didn't listen to because I didn't want to be spoiled. I hadn't watched the movie myself. And Revisiting the Rocketeer was good, but I like the Star Trek Roundtable much better.
Makes sense. Ben, want to take next one?
Top five of the year. Top five sci-fi geniuses gone bad. Top five things we're not into but wish we were. Top five things I'm nostalgic for. Top five episodes of Breaking Bad or The Manisode.
Which was top five manliest characters.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say I'm a big nostalgia guy. So top, and you get this, you get to be this age, you get really nostalgic. Yeah. So yes, absolutely, the top five things we are nostalgic for.
Yeah.
And category number one, episode of the year.
We made it.
Here it is. The Phantom Menace, The Lost World of Genesis, Spelunking with Socrates, Heaven on Earth, or Breaking Open, Breaking Bad. Doug, what's your vote?
I liked the title, at least, of The Phantom Menace. That was very clever, fellas. Congratulations.
Okay. So is that your vote?
No.
Okay.
However, I really enjoyed, I was really challenged by, and I liked all the background of Spelunking with Socrates.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That, the whole cave allegory was, I hadn't heard it before, or if I had, it a long time ago. It sounded familiar, but I didn't quite have all the details down. I really enjoyed that. That was really a good bit of information.
That is
awesome.
That's good.
Useful for my non-podcast listening life.
There you go.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to transition with some music. We're going to go into Get to Know Doug, and then we'll go into the news.
Oh, we're doing news?
Eventually. Do you want to... Is that what we go if we go to the transition?
Yeah, go for it.
I thought you were going to say something else.
No. I can still just talk over the transition. Yeah.
Can I say something about transitions?
Yes.
I listen to all my podcasts at 1.5 speed. This is ploddingly slow.
What do you mean?
The music goes bum ba dum da dum da. When you start up bum ba dum ba dum ba dum ba dum.
You listen. That's, you're the second person I know that listens to them. Like Wayne had just mentioned, he listens to his at
double speed.
Double speed. Yeah.
I do the 1.5 on the iPod, and it's like, because I only have, I commute to work only 2 days a week because I can work from home.
Mm-hmm.
So I only have those two, going to and coming from. So I have to get in as much as I can.
There you go.
I play it at 1.5, and this is also very, very.
That's interesting. I listen to a lot of podcasts almost nonstop throughout my days. I should maybe pick up the speed of them. I've never listened to one fast before.
Some podcasts, the way that people talk, you can't really, if you do that, you're not going to understand. If you listen to my podcast at 1.5 speed, you're not going to catch it, because I talk too fast anyway. But you guys do a good job.
All right, so here we go. Let's get to know Doug. Hi, Doug.
Hello, how you doing?
Great. So you're from Atlanta.
It's Doug
am.
In Atlanta.
That's where I get my name from.
Have I ever told you why I'm bitter against Atlanta?
Okay, tell us about your podcast first.
My podcast, I was a part of a podcast called Shire Network News some years ago, and when that kind of went away, the guy who was doing it just decided not to do it anymore. I was looking for another place that I could contribute to. I was just a contributor to that, and I wanted to, see if there was something else. It was a political podcast. I'm a political kind of guy. I've had a blog called Considerettes for since about 2004, and so I wanted to do some sort of political, and I had been listening to Cliff Ravenscraft. He's got a lot of very, very encouraging kind of guy. I've actually got to meet him once. So I decided I'm just going to do my own, and I'm going to leave room for expansion. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm going to make a podcast network.
Okay.
So that's been 15, 16 months ago, and my podcast network is one show. So
what
far.
Would your network, like, what did you envision it being? So you have considered this, which is about 10-ish minutes, right?
It's 10 minutes or less, yeah.
All about
politics, just whatever I'm thinking.
Tell your viewpoint.
Okay, yeah, to give my viewpoint, I'm a conservative kind of guy, and I will go through during the week looking at some news articles, kind of save them off, and then write my own opinion about certain events, current ones or older ones. But I try to do it in 10 minutes or less because there are so many political podcasts. And I try to keep up with a lot of political podcasts. But the problem is they're an hour and a half, and I just can't take them all in. So I thought, and there's a lot of them out there. So I'm thinking, what's my draw? What's my hook, mm-hmm. That people will want to download it? And I said, well, let's do it in 10 minutes or less and just do some quick thoughts on a couple of different three different topics, and hopefully that'll be enough to get somebody to download it. Because if you don't have a whole lot of time, you can still listen to this. So the website is considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. That's CT as in Christmas tree. And so I call it the network Consider This Podcasting,
mm-hmm.
because that's what it is.
Oh, yes.
Thank you very much.
I like it. And so Ben and I were saying before we started recording that we liked getting feedback from you because you sound so good. It sounds really high quality. And you told us that...
Well, my dad, I come by it rightly, it's in the genes, I guess. My dad, back in the 40s, was a DJ on a station in that no longer exists in Philadelphia. He spun big band records, and he had some great stories about it. He actually had a 78 RPM record about the size of a regular LP, but it was 70 RPM. It was like 5 minutes of him doing the news or 5 minutes of him doing commercials on the other side. And so we could hear what he sounded like back then. It was really cool. So he did that and then became a pastor after that. So, you know, the speaking thing. So I feel like I come by it rightly. It's like I said, in the genes. It's something that we do. He still does, for example, he does some radio spots. He lives in Ithaca. He's with the Salvation Army, and he goes out and he recruits bell ringers, and he gets on the radio and with the little spots to try to get people to give to the Salvation Army, that sort of thing. So he's still got his hand in that a little bit.
Last question, unless you have one, Ben.
Oh, I had a question.
Okay, I have one last one.
Okay. So you do the Under the Dome podcast.
I did, yes.
You did. Is it? So you're not doing it?
Well
it's in hiatus.
The TV talk. I did the TV talk Under the Dome show, yeah.
What did you think of Under the Dome?
He has to say he likes it. He gets paid to talk about it.
No, this is an honest place.
Well, I tell you, I did. We did do a Wayne Henderson and Troy Heinrichs did an Under the Dome radio podcast. And at the end of the season, they had an end of the season Under the Dome kind of a roundtable, and it was Wayne and Troy and the two of us who do TV talk, me and Karen Lindsay. And then it's killing me. There was another fellow who had his own Under the Dome podcast, and it was all moderated by Scott Herzog from the Sci-Fi Diner.
Oh, cool!
So it was really well done, and I was very honest with what I thought in that particular podcast. So it's not a hidden. I'm not trying facade up here. I liked it. Now here's the reason that I had issues with it. I think the concept was good. I thought it was great to bring that kind of that book, the ideas of what would happen, you know, kind of a what if scenario.
And you've read the book or not?
No.
Okay.
So what I said was on that show was that I think they were doing things it was realistic. They dealt with in issues. What about looting? What about water? What about, you know, all those kind of things. But the problem was they had 13 episodes. Mm-hmm. And with 13 episodes, you've got to blaze through this. In 13 episodes, there was a couple who met each other for the first time, fell in love with each other. She finds out her husband is missing, and he's kind of helping her, trying to figure out. But the problem was he has killed her husband. Mm-hmm. And then at some point she finds out that it was him, and they have a real, you know, falling out. And then afterwards they kind of make up, and she realizes her husband's dead. So she's kind of, you know, in bed with this guy. This all happens in the course of a week, you know, in real time.
Is that what the whole 13 episodes takes place in the course of one week?
Well, 13 it was 13 episodes, generally speaking, one a day. So it's about 2 weeks. But that particular relationship,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that particular relationship is just shoom. The problem was, there wasn't enough. And I understand how you like, heck, both of you guys like the shorter seasons. But my problem here was that you've got a huge ensemble cast and you've got a lot of character development you got to work in. You can't do it in 13 weeks.
Makes sense.
That's a problem in the source material, too.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. And the source material is like 1,000 pages long, and it still has. It's just, I think a lot of it is the time frame that King set the story in.
I think the book is only over the course of 2 weeks.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So you have that same feeling of like, really? Really? This all goes down in 2 weeks? Okay.
And didn't you tell me once it comes from a very liberal point of view?
Oh, yeah.
So you would hate it.
I probably wouldn't. And it's a lot of language in it and stuff like that. I've heard enough from like Wayne and Troy about what it was like. But it's, yeah, and I think some of the folks there were kind of let down by the ending of the book.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We shall see if the TV show follows suit.
You'd mentioned Scott Herzog had moderated it. Now, we did a Sci-Fi feud with him. Is he also part of the TV Talk Network?
No, he just was there. I don't know exactly. I think Wayne and Wayne knew him pretty well.
I'd have to feud with him again if he got if he got a job and we did.
Well, I don't know if we could, because if you do have to be positive about the shows, I'm not good at that, generally speaking.
Maybe there'd be one you'd like, finally.
No, Game of Thrones.
Okay. Last question. Tell us about your family.
I've got four kids. I got three in college, and I got a wonderful wife who is who does a lot of work with, at our church with Bible quizzing and Sunday school, stuff like that. We have a Bible quiz team. Actually, when I get back, we're going to Columbus, Georgia for our quiz meet.
Whoa.
You know, I've got, like I said, three kids in college, one still at home, so we are busy.
I had an
Not
idea.
As busy as we used to be with everybody out of the house, but there you go.
We had an idea for a podcast once called Bible Trivia Podcast,
oh.
where we like kind of like consider this just 10 minutes. We'll tackle one topic and really cover it well. We only did one episode, though. And
we should add that category in for the vote. Best Bible Trivia Podcast of the year.
Or best missed opportunity.
There's a lack of follow through for you.
Oh, man. Okay.
We should add that in.
We can't.
Why can't we?
We'll bring it back eventually.
Well, I think if you want to vote for the Bible trivia, go ahead and
has to be write it in.
Yeah.
All right. Do you know how to sing along with It's Time for Sci-Fi News?
I do.
Okay, here we go.
Lyrics are pretty easy.
It's time for Sci-Fi News.
We might just need to capture that. Just that was our best one ever. I think Doug is a better singer than we are.
Well, I've practiced it twice as fast. So
that's,
you know.
Okay, it's time for Sci-Fi News.
Ben, you were interested.
We better just fly through the news. This is like a 40-minute episode already. How far are we into it?
Yeah, we've been recording for about 40 minutes. All right, good. Take the Simon Pegg news.
So Simon Pegg, Monty Python's doing a new movie. The Monty Python troupe is back together, except for Graham Chapman, and he's not joining because he's dead.
Dead.
So that's tough for him.
I think it's against union rules.
Yeah, probably. Definitely. He's dead for like 30 years now, so not a chance.
Okay,
but anyway, Simon Pegg. Simon Pegg is going to be in the new Monty Python movie. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, he's funny.
Are you a Monty Python fan, Doug?
The TV show, yes. I watched it a bit when it was like, you know, first run. So, yeah, that's how old I am.
I didn't watch it when it was first run, but I've seen it.
I watched some in high school. My group of high school friends were really into it, and so we watched a bunch of the movies, but not a lot of the TV show.
John Cleese is a genius, so it'll be good to have him back doing Monty Python again.
Another thing that I thought was a good contender for top news of the day was this thing about Amazon. So, but it actually, I think it'll be fit for this category.
Take that, science!
Ben, take it away.
Yeah, so Amazon announced that they have plans to do drone delivery of their products.
It's called Prime Air.
They're not delivering drones.
That's true. Though, what if you order a drone?
And it comes by drone?
We don't know where this is going to go.
But this is for real. When you watch the video, did you watch the video, Doug?
No.
Okay, there's a video on Amazon.com, and it looks like it's a joke, like some sort of April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
But it's for real. So the plan is, you order, you pay some huge fee probably, and within 30 minutes, they're going to fly your product to your home. Well, a drone will.
Yeah, it's presumably a smaller product. Like, I don't think you can order a washing machine. Or
like
something.
A vacuum.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so.
Well, vacuums aren't too heavy.
Okay.
Those drones don't look that hefty.
So what did you think about this, Ben?
I think it'd be awesome. I mean, obviously, there's billions of logistical issues, and legal issues.
Well, the plan is to make it happen by 2015, and all they're trying to get through is the FAA regulations right now.
Yeah. So 2015 seems more than a little optimistic.
You don't want it flying over the White House.
Right.
Well, and another quote they have from the article is, one day seeing drones flying around delivering packages will be as common as today when we see the post office driving around.
Right. Yeah, so I think it's very cool. Yeah, I mean, the issues that you had that come to mind, are things other people have mentioned, of course, is what do you do for people who live in a downtown area in an apartment complex? What do you do in a rural area where Farmer Bob decides he doesn't like the drone and pulls out his shotgun and starts taking pot shots at it?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with no fly zones? You know, so there's, you know, what do you do with obstructions?
What do you do with bad addresses? Have you used GPS lately?
What do you do if this is the first step towards Skynet?
Well, that's okay. I mean, we'll get there eventually.
That's not okay.
Of progress.
Okay.
No. Judgment Day. Yeah.
All right.
So I'm for it. We'll see if it ever happens. One of the theories I heard on this was that this is really a Amazon is using this more as a marketing ploy than anything. But I think that's possible. Maybe a little. I'm not sure if I'm quite that cynical about it. I think they want to do it, but it's going to be tough.
Okay, I'm going to take the next piece of news and let's see. You have more to say about that?
No, that's okay.
I am interested in Amazon Prime Air, but I think it's a long way before we have to actually consider this.
I see what you did there.
So I wanted this to be top news of the day, but I know we cover quite a bit of superhero news.
Not anymore, because I block it.
Yeah, so X-Men Apocalypse. That's the name of the next movie coming out in 2016. So first we have, you know, Days of Future Past hasn't even come out yet. That's going to be May 23rd, 2014. The follow-up to that is going to be called X-Men Apocalypse. And the reason I'm excited, and Doug, I pointed this out to you earlier, is on my shelf over there where I have my comics. I've often talked about the Clone Saga with Spider-Man being my favorite storyline. Well, right up there with there, maybe tied for number one, is X-Men Age of Apocalypse, and it's a time travel story. And so the events of Days of Future Past are going to roll into the events of Apocalypse. I'm not saying it's for sure going to be an Age of Apocalypse story, but kind of awesome if it is. Another alternate...
Of course it is.
Not
necessarily. Why else would they call it that?
I mean, there's a character named Apocalypse, so it could be...
Okay, so
it's
going to be based on it, at least.
And another thing that's interesting about this is if Marvel, the Marvel Cinematic Universe people, if they caught wind that this might have been their plan, it makes sense in why they named their movie that's coming up, the Avengers 2 is going to be called Age of Ultron. Where that title came from is a playoff of Age of Apocalypse, only with the character Ultron. So I bet X-Men wanted to call their movie Age of Apocalypse, but guess what? You can't have that come out after Age of Ultron.
Yeah, they could.
But it wouldn't be as
cool. Sounds too derivative.
Yeah. To me, of all the superhero franchises going on right now, X-Men's really the only one I'm actually interested in. Well, we'll see what happens with DC and Superman and everything. Yeah. But I loved First Class.
Yeah.
I'd loved. And I'm excited because they said this movie's going to be set in the 70s.
And it has just the First Class
exactly.
cast. So I don't think it's going to have much of the future cast.
Right. So in a way, like looking at it and thinking about it, I'm excited about it, but I don't feel excited about it because I have so much superhero burnout right now.
I don't have it yet.
Really?
Yeah,
how can you not?
Because I'm personally into superheroes way more than you are.
Yeah, but it's just the quality is so mediocre, and it's oversaturation to an extreme.
If you don't go to the movies, then it's not oversaturation.
Yeah, I remain unsaturated recently.
As far as X-Men goes, I have seen one of the movies in the theater, Wolverine, and I think that was not the best.
The only one that just came out?
See. Yes, yeah.
Oh,
wasn't
my gosh.
That terrible?
Oh, that was, that's the worst movie of the year to
me.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I hated that movie.
I've seen little bits and pieces on TV. You know, I think I've seen, what's the Wolverine origin story?
Yeah. Wolverine origins.
Oh, well,
you got it.
I'm sure.
You can tell they spent a long time on that title.
Yeah. Wait a minute, I got it. Yeah. Wolverine origins. So, I've seen a little bit of that on TV, quite a bit of that on TV, but not like from front to back. You know, I've seen the end of it about four times.
Okay.
You know, that sort of thing. So I would like to, but it's making time and I'm waiting for it to go to the cheap seats, the $2 theater. So
I think maybe part of it too is that, you know, in the last week we had the Amazing Spider-Man 2 trailer come out and the poster, and watching that, it's like here on display is so much of what's wrong with superhero movies these days.
I'll elaborate.
Oh, it's the emphasis on dumb action and CGI. It's stuffing it full of too many villains, just random fan service moments rather than actually telling a great story.
I think the only good point you might have made there is the random fan service moments. I could see that being...
Wait, you don't think there's too much CGI, too much dumb action? That's what the first one was.
I didn't like the story of Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man, but I don't mind the CGI. I don't mind the action as long as there's a good story to back it all up.
Well, yeah, but that's the point, is that there isn't.
Well, we don't know that. We haven't seen the movie.
Sure, we know that because that's what the modus operandi is.
We don't know
it
for a fact because we haven't seen Amazing
Spider-Man
2.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to know it for a fact then because I'm not going to see Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Okay, one that I know you are excited about.
But here's the point, is that it's like looking at it, this is my point, not so much that I know definitively what the final movie is going to be, but looking at that, it's like, here we go again. We've seen this movie so many times. You know, we've seen it. It's just so tired. And so there's so much fatigue. I don't know if you watched the trailer for Amazing Spider-Man 2, Doug. So maybe you know, what your thoughts would be on it. But to me, watching that, it was just like, here we go again. Wake me up when it's over.
I haven't seen the trailer. I didn't watch the first Amazing Spider-Man movie. I love the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. I think it was more true to the... It was great stories. He doesn't get the girl after the first one. Spoilers. You know, so it isn't happily ever after. He's kind of the wimpy kid, which is kind of the Peter Parker that I recognize. When I saw Amazing Spider-Man 1, the trailers there, it wasn't really drawing me in.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't miss much.
Yeah, it wasn't that good. And I love Spider-Man. That's a weird thing. You just said you liked the Tobey Maguire ones. I actually probably like those less. And I like Spider-Man, but
you didn't even like Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, I love Spider-Man as a hero, but I haven't liked one of his movies a lot.
Well, I will say that the last one with Sandman and all that, we went with my kids and some of their friends, and when we came out, it was kind of almost a parody movie, really.
Yeah.
The Evil Goop from Space, that's what we called the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's the first two, though. I like the first two, and you know, there's a lot of character development and story going on there.
Ben, but
the last
them.
One, not so much.
I like the second one a lot. The first one I don't care for a ton, and I think the third one is awful.
I keep trying to segue to the next piece of news because
I'm
not going to let you.
This is a movie that you actually are excited for.
So, Doug, what did you think of the second Spider-Man?
Batman, Superman, you are kind of excited about that, right?
My curiosity is piqued. So I'm getting less excited as more news comes out.
Yeah, so the big news this week is that they've cast Wonder Woman in it. So it's confirmed she'll be in it. It's an Israeli actress named Gal Gadot. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. She's from the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Cool.
So she has some acting experience.
I don't think they do that in that franchise.
Oh, let's take a pause and talk about Paul Walker.
Paul Walker is dead.
Paul Walker, do you know this? Did you hear about this?
Yeah, guy? I heard about that. I did not see any of the Fast and Furious.
So I've seen one and two. Did you ever see any of them?
No.
These were 10 years ago.
Well, they're still going.
Yeah, so Paul Walker is in the middle of filming number 7 right now.
Oh, was he?
And they had to stop production, and the interesting thing about this story is they may scrap everything they've done so far and just start over. Instead of, the options are CGI his face onto a different actor.
Yeah.
That seems wrong. And then...
write it into the story.
Write into the story that he dies, but how can you... I don't know.
That seems a bit exploitive.
Yeah. But, man, how messed up is it that he died in a car accident?
Yeah, especially since if they write it into the story, he would probably die in a car accident in the movie.
So, sad news for Paul Walker fans, but, so Wonder Woman. Let's move on.
Wonder Woman and...
you are the master of segues, Ben.
Yeah, so Wonder Woman...
Matt.
I'm Matt.
You're Matt. You're Ben?
Get out of here, Doug.
Oh, okay.
Never come back to my apartment.
That's awesome.
What were you going to say?
One article I read on this was coming at it from a feminist perspective and saying that Zack Snyder is definitively the wrong person to introduce Wonder Woman onto the screen. Because the things Zack Snyder understands are action and an ultra-stylized sense of masculinity.
Okay.
I'm not an ultra-feminist, but I read that and I completely agree. Zack Snyder is the wrong person to bring Wonder Woman to the screen. You don't need to throw in every single hero from the Justice League into this movie. Let it be Batman and Superman, you know, and just... Or let it... You know, my original thought was just have a Man of Steel sequel. You know, just do that first. I think it's going to be a disaster. I think this movie is going to be horrible.
I disagree. I was looking forward to it more, though, when it was just Batman and Superman.
Yeah, so we're moving in the wrong direction.
So that could be true, but I'm still not thinking it's going to be horrible.
You will after you exit the theater. That's how these conversations usually go between us.
That you're like, I'm going to hate it. And I'm like, I think I'll like it. And then I leave. I'm like, yeah, I hated it.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 2.
Yeah.
All right, so I just want to hit a bunch of these real quick, for it or against it. These are all categories under franchise or sequel. Since we've been talking about that, I thought I'd lump these together. So listen to this news. Of course, there's a new Terminator movie coming out.
Yeah, against it.
We found out that it was titled Genesis, coming out July 1st, 2015. For it or against it?
Against it.
I'll probably see it.
All right.
What did you like Terminator Salvation?
No, that's not connected, so it doesn't even matter.
Oh, does it? Okay. I say no. So yeah, I'm glad this is going to be
a bad movie.
Yeah.
Okay. The other sequel franchise part of that is they're developing a TV series. Do you know about this, Ben?
Yeah, I'm against it.
And the TV series is going to tie directly in with the movie storyline. And so kind of a MCU, which is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. type thing. So it's a Terminator movie with a Terminator TV show.
You know, I'm already sick of the Cinematic Universe trend. That needs to be over yesterday.
They had the Sarah Connor Chronicles at one point.
Yeah.
So you're for or against the TV show?
Apathetic.
All right.
I'm against it unless we can get paid by TV Talk
to cover it. These are not necessarily sci-fi, but I just think it's funny that they're making sequels. Jerry Bruckheimer closed a deal with Paramount. They're going to do Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Against it?
Against it.
Paramount and Tom...
I'm against Jerry Bruckheimer working in the film industry anymore.
Okay,
like, he can still work and support his family. I'm not against... I don't want him to be homeless, but, you know... No more movies, please.
So
that's nice of you, Ben.
Yeah, I'm generous that way.
Again, Paramount and Tom Cruise are going to be moving forward with a Jack Reacher sequel.
Against it.
I've never seen the first one.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a movie came out last December, starring Tom Cruise as some sort of action hero.
I think I'm just...
Oh, like every other movie?
Yeah. I think I'm against 90% of movies that are released these days.
This next one is hilarious. In like 2002... The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, released a movie called The Rundown, and now they're talking about doing a sequel to it now. Like, any day. They might start working on it.
Any day!
Any day now.
For it or against it, The Rundown 2.
Against it.
Apathetic, no idea what it is. Never saw The Rundown.
You know what they should do? They should just, like, have The Rock film a generic action scene and just have, you know, three or four different movie crews shooting it from different angles with different filters so it looks like a different movie, but really it's the same action scene, because it really wouldn't make any difference.
Veronica Mars, a popular TV show, has, we've just found out the movie release date, March 14th, 2014, for or against Veronica Mars.
I'm going to go with Doug's apathetic on this one because I never watched the show.
I'm not apathetic. Oh, no. With my answer. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Cliff Ravenscraft is going to be doing a podcast on it, so I'm for it.
Okay, for it. And finally, Disney and Paramount have put together a deal concerning the Indiana Jones franchise in which Paramount will retain the rights to the first four, but going forward, Disney has all the rights to Indiana Jones. For this or against this, and then I'll have further news.
Against it. No more Indiana Jones, please.
Yeah, against it. Harrison Ford had his day. He's still a great actor, but he's just not Indiana Jones anymore.
They haven't announced this yet, but I think the only way this could go is reboot, because, like we said, the first four movies still belong to Paramount, even though Disney now has a little bit of right with them. They're not going to be making any money off those original four, so it doesn't make any sense to make a fifth one that's connected to movies they don't own. So I think they'll just start over. New young actor to be the new Indiana Jones.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
Well, Shia LaBeouf, if I'm saying that right, it was his son in the last one.
Right,
there, so, yeah.
That was a bad movie.
Ethan Irway, one of our listeners, sent in this news.
Okay.
Do you remember? You want to take it?
Can I have a turn at news?
Take it.
I don't have it.
You responded to it. There.
Oh, yeah, okay. This is the terrible Tolkien ripoff fantasy series, the Shannara series by author Terry Brooks, is coming to a network known for its quality and restraint, MTV. So they're going to be bringing the Shannara TV series sometime soon.
And now, have you heard who's set to direct it?
Jon Favreau.
Correct.
So that's the hat trick. Bad network, bad source material, bad director.
Now, which of the 55 novels are they going to be doing?
Presumably Sword? The first one, yeah. I remember I read that novel when I was like 10, and I thought it was the greatest thing ever. And then I reread it at about 20. I was like, this is like Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Exactly.
This is weird news. Yeah. Speaking of young adult fiction.
Well, it's not young adult fiction.
Is that what we're talking about?
Speaking of fiction.
Yeah.
There's a young adult series called Fae, F-A-E. Is that how you say it?
Fae, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
I think it's like a term. I think it's kind of a British term for, you know, nice, or it's good connotation.
All right. So, Faye, a young adult fantasy series, got optioned by Ridley Scott.
I bet. Does it have a love triangle and
a Matrix?
Butt-kicking female protagonist?
No, not a Matrix.
I don't know.
It probably does. Because all young adult movies are essentially the same. Read real books, people.
I'll be optimistically for it. Okay, Ben, you can take the next piece of news.
Well, thank you. Well, let's see. We've done Paul Walker, done Amazon Drone. Oh, Peter Jackson. So The Hobbit is being released tonight, of course.
Oh, you're going.
I'm going in just a few hours.
What time do you have to be out here? I should be watching the
No. It's fine. I'm going over to my dad's at like 10.
Okay, cool.
So I have plenty of time. But Peter Jackson this week has announced that he is in serious talks to direct an episode of Doctor Who.
Wow.
Oh, and I didn't hear. I heard that he was willing to. He'd like to, but he's in talks. That's
yep,
cool.
Yep. Now they're actually talking about it.
Yeah. I just realized we have to save time for the end of the news episode to talk about Doctor Who. Because we have some listener feedback about it.
Maybe we should punt till next week on it.
No, because Doug's here.
Well, okay.
Okay, so continue. I think I'll cut out all my other listener feedback except for Doctor Who this week.
Okay. So we did that.
Did you get the Andy Serkis news?
No.
Take it. Andy Serkis.
I don't have Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis is going to be doing the motion capture for Animal Farm. They're redoing Animal Farm.
Oh, yeah. He was directing it. Yeah, we did this news like 6 months ago.
Okay.
And because the news was that he announced he was going to do a, he was going to take all the politics out of it.
Hey, I can't be expected to remember every piece of news we cover here. It's going to start filming next year.
I'm staying out of this.
Yeah.
I've got
a non-political, non-allegorical Animal Farm was the news as of 6 months ago, which is ridiculous. What's it going to be like?
It's called Zoo.
Exactly. A trip to the farm.
Do you have the Star Trek news? Star Trek 3?
No.
Are you actually going to like this? They've changed up the screenwriters for the third one. So Damon Lindelof is out.
He might not be as good as we think he is.
Alex Kurtzman is out.
Yeah.
But Robert Orsi is sticking around with a couple of new guys.
Yeah.
So that might be okay.
I bet you that they're like, he's supposed to be their mentor because now he's the wise, experienced veteran.
Have you heard of...
Guys, here's how you make movies suck.
Have you heard of J.D. Payne or Patrick McKay?
Nope, but they're writing it.
They're writing it. All right, Ben, I only have minimal news left, and I'm going to save it for last news of the day.
Well, I have this here.
What the Frodo is this? What the Frodo?
You thinking, man?
The Frodo?
What's going on?
Frodo! What the Frodo?
So in this week's What the Frodo, little video game news for you. An engineer at Valve had a little free time on his hands, so he developed a couple of unique video game controllers. One that you use with your mouth.
Okay.
And one that you use with your buttocks.
All right.
Like by sitting on it.
Much time under your hands.
No, but it's actually, that's what I thought too. It's like, this is weird. But then the idea is that, you know, eventually this will allow people with disabilities to have greater control over, you know, you just, like, they can wiggle on the controller and move stuff. It doesn't have enough precision to do
this.
This
is bad. Let's talk.
So, cool news for those with... I won't speculate further on how it might be used. But anyway, so, cool developments.
Go science.
Go science. Your butt can play a video game in the not too distant future.
Does the butt version have like force feedback so it vibrates, you know?
Probably.
Let's not go there. I wouldn't have usually covered this.
Would you use a butt controller?
I don't think I would. I'm not really for video games in general.
Well, what if it was like a computer mouse?
No, I just use. I probably would just use the mouse.
More efficient. You can like do other work with your hands. Click. You know.
There are people when they're using video game controllers get these funny looks in their faces. The tongue sticks out.
Right. Yeah.
Now add to that you're controlling with your butt and your mouth. This is going to create so many viral videos of people playing video games.
This is a conversation that needs to end.
What? Why?
Conversation.
It's about people with disabilities, Matt. Are you against helping people with disabilities?
I am against disabilities, not against people with disabilities.
Because don't you think people with disabilities should be able to control their computers?
I do.
With their butts?
I wouldn't go that far.
There are limits. I have a couple Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pieces of news.
Okay, take it away.
So, Jim Steranko...
Wait, is this still under What the Frodo?
No.
Oh, because I want to be under that umbrella.
Okay, well, we'll play it again.
No, I'll take it right now.
You wanted last news of the day.
Nope, I got something else for last news of the day. Just
close the umbrella.
So, as you know, X-Men Days of Future Past writer is named Simon Kinberg. But... interestingly, he... You're not supposed to drink on the air.
Well, it's usually quieter than that.
But interestingly...
And I'm drinking water, just so that everyone... When I drink on the air... Well, never mind.
Interestingly,
we get something like the Dark Knight Returns review.
Interestingly, Fox would like him, Simon Kenberg, who I've never even heard of,
yeah,
to create a Marvel-style movie universe for the X-Men and Fantastic Four, who aren't usually associated together too often.
This is a nightmare.
So, what do you think, Doug? Fantastic Four and X-Men movie together?
George Carlin once said, if you nail two things together that have never been nailed together before, some schmuck will buy it from you. And I think this qualifies.
Yeah, oh, that's interesting.
This is terrible. Especially since, again, like I said before, the X-Men franchise is the one franchise that's actually interesting. So let's ruin it by making it a cinematic universe. And yes, that will ruin it.
Before you take another step, we have this.
It's a Stanley.
How many? You said you had last news of the day only.
Stan's brain.
I got like 10 things.
You know, I hate to burden you with all these things, all these problems. I mean, I know you've got enough on your mind, enough to worry about, but I want to talk to you about the movie industry. Every time there's a new movie, whether it's The Avengers or Iron Man or the new Captain America that's coming out, they try to get them in the summer because then there'll be summer blockbusters. Now, what I want to know is, what's wrong with the winter? Don't you go to movies in the winter? Don't I go to movies in the winter? Doesn't everybody? I don't know why they don't refer to some movies as winter blockbusters. Summer blockbuster, summer blockbuster, summer blockbuster. In the wintertime, the theater owners, think how they must feel. We're not going to get a summer blockbuster. We'll probably get an old Three Stooges. We can play it over and over again. No, it isn't fair. It isn't right. And I want us to do something about it because it really riles me. Excelsior.
It's a Stanley Quote of the Week.
I think the answer when he asks, don't I go to movies in the winter, is no. Because if he thinks that's what's playing at movie theaters in the winter, Stanley has apparently not ventured to his local cinema.
That's
recently.
A great idea, though.
But he's trying to change it, though. Yeah. That's what he's.
That's not a great idea.
He's a summer force
movies
for
are
change.
No. Summer movies are generally movies where you don't think. That's the idea, and I'm against those in general. So now let's extend that to the winter. No, thank you. No, thank you.
And summer blockbusters, and just summer not.
We don't need more events. All right. How about thinking? Make that an event.
Yeah, what he said. All right, Ben, I'm ready for your news. I only have one piece left.
Okay. Are you sure about that?
Yes.
So, Jim Steranko, who I guess was a famous comics writer for S.H.I.E.L.D. back in the day, did a lot of famous S.H.I.E.L.D. stories. He had published a review of the pilot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where he said he was disappointed with it so far. And then he did a follow-up this last week where are we at after 10 episodes? And he makes a great point. Now, I've quit watching the show, but from what I saw the first 5-6 episodes, this resonates with me. And he made the point that the show is trying to have it both ways. It's trying to be both a Joss Whedon show and a S.H.I.E.L.D. show, and it's hitting neither. It's not one or the other. You know, so it's going for all of the kind of Joss Whedon romance, quippy lines, characters, all that, and trying to have that at the same time as being a spy show set in a superhero movie universe. And because it's trying to straddle that line, it's ultimately failing at both tasks.
That's an interesting analysis.
Yes.
I've enjoyed it generally so far. There are elements about it that is like, yeah, whatever. I'm not too thrilled with, but overall, yes, it's not a Joss Whedon kind of that we've come to know and love. So
yeah, I think we need to stop saying or kind of spreading the myth that it is a Joss Whedon show, because I don't think it is anymore.
His name's attached to it.
It shouldn't be, though. It's the same as when J.J. Abrams attaches his name.
The difference,
shows.
Though, is that Joss Whedon traditionally any show that Mutant Enemy has been attached to has been a Joss Whedon show. Now, if he starts popping up,
is this Mutant Enemy?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. So this is a Joss Whedon show.
I'm just thinking, though, like, I'm pretty sure, Lost was Bad Robot. Fringe is Bad Robot, yeah. I think. Mm-hmm. And J.J. wasn't involved with those
But JJ's gone in a very different direction.
But what if Joss Whedon is going that same direction?
Well, then maybe we'll realize that, but thus far he hasn't.
I think that's what's happening.
And maybe if this bombs, he may realize I need to get back in.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think before, I would say we will see the cancellation of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., before we see Joss Whedon helmet on a weekly basis.
Yeah, well.
He's too busy. He's got too many other great things going on movie-wise.
Great things?
Like for him financially.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he's cashing the checks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't say no if I was in his place.
No, me either.
And then also Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to apparently introduce two more agents. Hopefully these ones will be interesting.
Well said.
I don't know. I like Fitzsimmons.
Yeah, they're
really?
The best. Yeah, Fitzsimmons is my favorite.
Fitzsimmons
also.
Are very good.
Oh, I couldn't stand them when I... Sky was the worst.
No, wait, you once told me that Fitzsimmons was your favorite.
Okay, so I'm thinking of the choices. Well, Coulson's better than Fitzsimmons, but of the choices when I watched, they were the best. But it's not. That's not a high achievement.
Not saying it is, just saying that they're the best.
Yeah, they're the best. And
fair
Coulson's
enough.
Good, too. All right, are you ready for my last news of the day?
Yeah, let's do it.
Last news of the day. Bah, bah,
bah. Well, in today's last news of the day, more of a confirmation of things that we've heard in the past, but this is for real. Drew Goddard, who I think both of us semi-like, he's been involved with things like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, Alias, Lost, Cabin in the Woods, and World War Z, which I'm yet to see. He is confirmed to be the writer-director of Marvel's Daredevil.
That makes me optimistic.
This is good news.
Yeah.
Wasn't there already a Daredevil movie?
Yeah, there was, but this is going to be a Netflix TV series.
Ah.
So, did you hear the news about the Netflix and Marvel connection?
Not really, no.
Okay, just briefly. Marvel made a deal with them for 60 episodes made up of a Daredevil miniseries, Jessica Jones miniseries, Luke Cage miniseries, and Iron Fist? Who's the fourth one? Is that
Daredevil? I don't know.
I think Iron Fist. And then, finally, kind of a Avengers-esque Defenders miniseries. So... yeah, so that's that. All right, we're ready, guys. Let's enter listener feedback.
Yeah.
All right, people, if you sent in any feedback that wasn't related to Doctor Who, you're out this week. First.
Well, I want to hear what Doug thought of the 50th anniversary first, okay. Since he's going to be responding to this more than we are.
Yeah, go ahead.
I believe your assessment of it was right, that it's... it was mostly for the fans. It wasn't so much an episode as it was a kind of a celebration. I think that's what they were trying to get at. It was a decent episode, a setup for the upcoming seasons and stuff like that, where he's trying to bring back Gallifrey. I did see there were. I don't know if you. I think maybe I'm remembering this from on the website. One of the writers talking about it. But there was a kind of a connection between the two storylines, the one with the Zygons and then following the Time War, in that it's tenuous, but you had a situation that was kind of neither side. There's no way to deal with this. We've got the Zygons who want to take over. We've got the humans who want to not be taken over. And the Doctor comes up with a third way. Nobody knows who's the Zygon and who's the human, and so... there is a way out, and we don't go back to that because that's not the point. The resolution of that story is not the point. The point is to come up with a third way to deal with this without destroying either side. So the issue with the Time War was, what's the best way to do this without destroying both the Time Lords and the Daleks and all the children and all that kind of thing? So the Doctor comes up with a third way to deal with that, to throw Gallifrey into a pocket universe and save it for later, and the Daleks kill themselves. Thank you very much.
It's like the galactic doggy bag.
I'll come back to this a little later. Thank you very much. Yeah. So I really did enjoy it. There was the like I said, it was a celebration of what has gone past and kind of looking ahead to the future when Capaldi comes in for the major all the TARDISes taking care of the planet there. So I liked it from that perspective. The 3D, I thought they did a great job with the 3D. I saw it in the theater, they did a great job with the effects there. Not a lot of gratuitous in your face, but they used it. There was the picture that was kind of that you could see into. They did a great job with that. So anyway, you get Kate Lethbridge Stewart, you get the girl with the scarf, you get old monsters and stuff like that. So it sets things up for I thought it was going to be more of a game changer than it was. Mm-hmm. It was more just. Okay, now I have a new thing to do in, you know, the upcoming season. That's nice, but I thought there was going to be some really big, I don't know, you know, kind of a really big game changer. But it was a minor changer.
Now the doctor grows a third heart or something like that.
All right. So Taylor wrote in, and he's responding directly to our criticisms of the 50th, so I'm glad you're bringing that up. So some of this I think you might have just brought up. I'll read it, and I'll edit it as needed. He says, "Hey guys, I'm halfway through the Dissecting Doctor Who episode and just heard your critique of the Day of the Doctor. I've gone over that episode quite a bit, and I think I can help answer some of your questions." So he starts with the Zygons, which you just did. I think we had some complaints about that.
Yeah, I don't know if we had questions. I think we just had things we didn't like.
Then he talked about saving Gallifrey, which again, you just did. He did say something else. He said it took centuries for the sonic screwdriver to figure out how to disintegrate the door, and in the same way, it took centuries to figure out how to put Gallifrey away. That's why all of them were there, because it took all the...
Well, I think that was... It's taking all the TARDISes to
TARDI.
TARDI, thank you. To actually do whatever they were going to do. They don't explain it, but I think the idea was...
Oh, that's interesting.
No, they don't.
They didn't explain it? Weird.
No, yeah, I'm going to bring them all back, and it's going to take more than three TARDISes to do what we want to do. They don't say why, but they need it. So, again, this was celebration kind of thing.
Well, it was, we want to have all the TARDISes on screen at once. Let's write a line into the script where the Doctor says we need all the TARDISes on screen at once.
And you mentioned that Capaldi's in it, but why aren't there anybody... Why isn't any of the Doctors beyond Capaldi there? Because I'm guessing...
They haven't cast them yet.
Yeah. Yeah, they should have, like, hundreds of CGI TARDISes or whatever.
Okay, he also... Now, this I've never gotten from the show, and I just watched it all the way through. He says that we've seen before that after regeneration, the Doctor's memory is spotty at best, and it usually takes him a while to come back full... For the memory to come back fully, if at all. Even if he had perfect memory of the event... He never knew it worked. Now, he's talking about when it becomes War Doctor into Christopher Eccleston. He said it was really unlikely to work. For all he knew, he actually did destroy Gallifrey.
I think when...
Is that true, that his memory gets messed up from the regeneration?
No, Matt's... No, not from a regeneration. I don't think it's from that specifically. Sometimes it does, yes. Like, I remember with a couple of the old Doctors, they come back, and when David Tennant even regenerated, he was just kind of out of it and, you know, just not doing well. But... they spoke of it. Matt Smith, or they say to each other, "We're not." Tennant says, "We're not going to remember this, are we?" And Matt Smith gives some, you know, techno babble line about, "Yes, the timelines have crossed too much," and, you know,
he said, "This isn't my timeline."
Yeah, I forget exactly what it was, but it's a throwaway line to say, "No, you're not going to remember it," because that way you keep the continuity in the TV show.
Yeah. Isn't that... That's like, at some point, you can't just make it up as you go along. It's like, you can't just throw in a line that makes no sense.
A Doctor Who has...
I mean,
so
I'm in
much...
Matt's timeline right now, but I'm going to remember this conversation. I'm in your timeline, where all of our time streams are crossed.
But not the future, Ben. Or the past, Ben.
Okay, wait, listen to this. Here's another thing that he brings up that I've never heard of before, and maybe you know about this. He says, while we're talking about Tom Baker, because like I said, I'm editing this a little bit, it was explained a little in a throwaway sentence about having different faces and revisiting old favorites. Apparently in retirement or something, the Doctor can revisit the bodies he's had in the past.
What?
File this under trying to make fans of the classic show all giddy, but whatever, it was cool.
The idea was... And it's not saying this is what's going to happen, but, you know, when Tom Baker shows up and is the curator and he says, you may find yourself, you know, revisiting old faces. Yeah. And that was the explanation, I think, for why he looks like, you know, the
Tom
other Doctor
Baker,
and has aged because, you know, he didn't have gray hair when he regenerated the first time. So maybe in the future, maybe this, maybe it leaves a... It doesn't tie the hands of showrunners in the future, but maybe he'll revisit faces from the future. It was great to have Tom Baker at least in there when he first spoke his first line. I'm like, oh, I know who it is, and then they turn and show you the face, and everybody else in the theater went, oh, yeah.
See, I'm okay with Taylor saying that was cool, or you saying it's fun to see Tom Baker, but don't pretend like it made sense. It made no sense.
Okay, he says, and Taylor concludes with saying, I do have pretty similar complaints about the show in general, though, like how they play so fast and loose with the rules. Says a few other things, then wraps up by saying, hope you're doing well. Welcome to the Whovian family. Matt, Talk to you two later. Taylor Muggy from Nebraska.
Well, Taylor, I read your email as well. And thank you for your efforts to convince us. I was not convinced.
Michael Dunn wrote on the Sci-Fi Christian Facebook page, okay, guys, listen to the Doctor Who episode. Oh, yeah, this is an interesting one. Yeah, get ready for this, Doug. Now, I want to make it clear. I love Doctor Who, even consider myself a Whovian, but there is one aspect that has reoccurred in the series that bugs me a bit, to be honest. I was surprised you didn't touch on it. There has been a few outright scoffings at God throughout this series. I thought for sure it would get brought up on the Cypher Christian, and yet it didn't. How do we overlook this, Ben?
I don't recall Doctor Who scoffing at God.
Yeah, me either. Get Doug.
It has played fast and loose with people of faith. Not so much specifically God, but faith is just a good story that we tell ourselves. There was an episode with Matt this past season with Matt Smith and Clara, where he's talking to it was the Akhenaten. It was the kind of Egypt name title. Like I'm forgetting names. You know what I mean, Fred? Anyway,
yeah, I know what you mean.
But anyway, faith is just an interesting thing. There was one time a Muslim woman. Comes out and says that she's Muslim. Yeah. Oh, you believe in such and such. Yes, yes, yes. Well, he doesn't take that seriously either, although he gives her a little respect, you know, as far as that goes. There was one scene, The Voyage of the Damned. That was one of the Christmas special years ago with David Tennant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're on
the Titanic, right?
Yes, the Titanic. And at one point, the robots on there, you know, almost every Christmas special, there's some robots involved. The robots there were angels. And so at one point, it's Christmas Eve, and he's got to get to a different part of the ship really fast. So one angel takes him in one arm, mm-hmm. another angel takes another arm, and they fly up, you know, it almost making him godlike. He can, you know, see everything in space and time. And, you know, if he's not Santa Claus, certainly he's, you know, some sort of godlike creature. Yeah. And they outright, but they insinuate, you know, it's just a cool story, and we're going to make light of it mostly.
I heard that Russell T. Davies was more guilty of making the Doctor a messianic type God character, whereas Stephen Moffat has moved away from that. Do you feel that way when you look at the series?
Yeah, I think Stephen Moffat is more interested in exploring the Doctor as a villain.
Yeah, that is interesting, Doug.
Yeah, the dark side of the Doctor. Yeah, a little more like that. The Voyage of the Damned was a Russell T. Davies time period there. So, but yes, does he do it more? The Matt Smith line about the faith just being a nice story we tell ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's Stephen Moffat. I mean, at least, and that, he may not have written that, but that's during his time.
I just realized there was two emails that were similar, and this has a little bit more in depthness about the spirituality in Doctor Who. He says, my main point of writing is to address one of my big disappointments with the episode of The Sci-Fi Christian. I was surprised that you never touched upon the theological aspects of Doctor Who. The show is openly agnostic at best, perhaps atheist, but yet it borrows from the Christian theological traditions, and or at the very least offers some unknowing parallels to it. The one that immediately comes to mind is the show's premise that our world needs and is worthy of saving from a being who is wholly alien at one level, yet condescends to engage humans, even to the point of becoming like them in the appearance of flesh. It is hard to ignore the many parallels between the Doctor and Jesus. Also, and I'm not sure where I've heard this before, but there is an interesting parallel between the Doctor Who universe and the universe of Torchwood, with the former representing an optimistic world possessing a savior in the form of the Doctor, and the latter representing a darker world lacking a savior. The Doctor Who universe is thus a world like ours, one with hope because of the Savior, and the Torchwood world represents what the world would be like without Jesus. Just some food for thought. I am interested in your thoughts. Anthony. That's a great, great email.
That's a great analogy, and I don't think it's intentional. I just think because, you know, Doctor Who's been around for 50 years, these guys didn't invent the idea of an all-powerful being, pretty much from our perspective, being able to save us here. You know, that's been a... that's kind of been the modus operandi of the Doctor since the beginning. So, but it's one of those things you can find those kinds of parallels because the idea that a God helping people, that sort of thing, or is kind of a is pan culture, not pan culture, but it spans the cultures. You know, I think it is because that is what really happened. You know, when Jesus came down to do that, and so that whole idea of this, you know, of a great being like that coming down to help us and condescending to us is it really touches us. It touches us deeply because I think God's put that desire for that in us. And so instead of religion, people go to a science fiction show.
Mm-hmm. Ben, you want to close with something about that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would just say that messianic stories are pretty common. I don't know that there's anything particularly notable about Doctor Who's take on the messianic archetype from a theological perspective. So that's probably why we didn't cover it. But also,
we should have hit something on spiritual thoughts. So I'm glad that people brought it up.
Maybe Torchwood and Doctor Who are set in the same universe, though.
Well, I think he meant more like,
yeah, I know,
metaphorically, maybe
for sure.
Dark
sure.
world versus world with light.
Yeah,
yeah.
Although Torchwood is in the business of saving humanity as well. They're just not.
It's true.
They're just doing it with gadgets and stuff. Well, so is the Doctor, but they don't have the ability to go through time and such and such.
I haven't seen Torchwood. Have you, Ben?
Yeah, I've watched the first three series. It's okay.
Okay. Doug, fan?
Not particularly. I've watched it, and it's a little too dark for me.
I've heard people say that. I've heard people recommend just don't watch it.
Yeah.
Would that be your recommendation to me? Just don't watch Torchwood, Doug?
Oh, there are... When we talk about family-friendly stuff, there are some good ideas in there, good things that they explore, thoughts that they explore. It's just the way they do it.
Okay. All right. Well, great long news episode, but I mean, we had to have you do the ballot, which kind of took some time at the beginning. So go out there and vote on thescifichristian.com. Yeah. You can send us an email at
feedback@scifichristian.com.
You can call us at
612-4121-SFC, but don't leave us your ballots on that, because then we got to listen and write down your votes.
Yeah, I did that last year. It was horrible. Please
don't do that.
Well, that's what
we might not count your vote if you do that.
I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
I'm Doug Payton.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians.
Yeah, goodbye.
Signing off.